Some of my greatest memories from my childhood are from around the table, the dinner table. Anybody else with me on that one? Anybody else have some good memories around the dinner table? With my parents, with my siblings. Sometimes it'd be good, sometimes it'd be bad. But in my grandparents' house, we'd go into the rec room and we would run around this carpet they had and just kind of dance to this old music. Or we'd get into our, ask Jessica about our second date. She was invited to my house with about 60, 70 people there for a family birthday party. So those are some of, welcome to the family, right? Those are some of those things that I think about when I think about family. And Jessica and I like to continue in some of our family traditions. We create our own. If you've met my wife, you know that she'll just create something and then say that it's a tradition. Right? Traditions have to start somewhere. And I am not going to play.
Thank you.
Good, man. There we go. Levi, man. No, I'm just kidding. All right, So we eat it. We eat at home a lot, Jessica and I do, and we spend a lot of valuable time around the table. We're in our backyard playing with our little boys, making a priority to hang out with our family. We like to head back to Kansas City when we can to see family, and we've got a little bit of family here. So some of us here today have great memories of family growing up. And one of the, just visiting with some of you guys, one of the things that I know is some of you guys have great family experiences. Some of you guys have kind of mixed family experiences, and some of you guys just have bad memories when it comes to your family, right? I mean, just sometimes it just is. In reality, there are some of us that never really had a family. You had a birth mom and a birth dad, but you never really had a family. Jessica and I, last year, we began training to be foster parents. Was it last year? Yeah, we began training to be foster parents, and it was heartbreaking hearing some of the stories we did about families, the family experiences that these children had. And there's a friend of mine that came up to me as we were getting ready to go through this process of training and getting certified, and he put his arm around me and was telling me how excited we were to be a part of that, that we were going to be a part of that. And he went on to tell me and explain to me that he never had a family, ever. Like, he went into the foster system right away and just bounced from either a group home or a foster family throughout his entire life. He was never adopted. Never had his own mom or dad, so he was really saying, man, we got to value family, right? He was kind of applauding people that did that. And that's something we do here at our church as well. We applaud those that can get involved with fostering and adoption and those types of things. Today we begin a new series on the family. Throughout this series, we're going to talk specifically about moms and dads, husbands, wives, singles, children, men and women, manhood, womanhood. One of the things we want to do today is kind of get a good foundation. This isn't going to be, well, hopefully it is. Anytime we hear God's word, man, we need to be changed, right? We need to look at that and we're like, okay, God, what are you saying here? But this isn't going to be one of those, oh man, why can't I? You get what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes you get one of those huge applicable. This is one of those things that you look at and you're saying, this is what God's word said. We need to know how to study God's word and know what God's word says. So our goal today is to open up God's word, to hear from him, to hear from his design. Throughout history, we see it right now, but throughout history, we've seen families struggle. We've seen families succeed. We've seen sexism, chauvinism, homosexuality, divorce, feminism, abuse in marriages and families. We've also seen lasting marriages, forgiveness, love, grace, support, having each other's back. We've had families that reject God and his gospel, and families that embrace God and embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. In families that are pleasing to him. So I want to ask you to stay connected, to track with me throughout this series. This is going to be an important launching pad for where we go for the next 3 weeks following this one. You guys with me? So know that where we start at, this is, we're going to continue. If you decide to be ill, I about said that, right? If you're ill, if you're serving in kids' life, or you're just not able to be here for another reason, jump on our website. AuthenticLifeAZ.com, and then you see the menu button, and we've got sermons on there as well. So if we spend a week talking about men and you're a lady or you're a young person or vice versa, we speak about men, women, and you get what I'm saying? If we're not speaking about your group, still stay plugged in and learn how we can pray for the men or the ladies or the children in our church family. Boys, if we're talking about men, you know, learn what kind of man God has designed you to be as you grow up and mature. Young ladies, learn what kind of man is one that follows Jesus and one that you might marry one day. Right? Same thing every week. If we're talking about something that doesn't apply, I want to challenge your thinking on that one. Each week we can walk away knowing how to grow into, look for in a mate or a friendship, know how to come alongside a family member to pray for one another, those types of things. So let's not just, if it's not focused enough, if you're a wife and we're talking about husbands, let's not check out. You guys tracking with me on that one? Does that make sense? Okay. I'm sure I could say it. Jessica says, Jeff, you just talk in circles. You're saying the same thing over and over again. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. So some things we talk about and hear from God's Word will sound counterculture. We've had a series before, you know, counterculture, where we spent 6 weeks or something on that, on counterculture. So just be prepared. Today's going to be counterculture. You guys with me? Okay? Because we are, our church is not driven by political correctness or what is currently popular in culture. We're driven by the Holy Spirit. We're driven by God. We're driven by His Word. Amen, church? So as a church, we want to remain faithful, by the grace of God, remain faithful to the Word of God. Last week, we opened up the sermon with three ingredients that would help us view and understand Christ's compassion and our commission when we looked at Matthew 9 and ended that series of being on track. This week, I want to do the same thing. I want us to open up God's Word, and here's today's message with a few things in mind. So when we hear today's message, we're going to refer back to this quite often. This is the first three things in your notes. Is this one, first, we can trust God. Amen? We can trust God. Second is we can trust His Word. We can trust God's Word. We can trust the Bible. And third, we can trust His design. We can trust His design. Those are in your notes if you guys would, you guys want to fill those out. But those are that. Trust God, trust His Word, and we can trust His design. As we look into our text today and throughout the series, have these things in mind, the things that we can trust. If you notice on your notes that we're going to be covering chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Genesis. So we should get out right before Super Bowl time. No? Okay. Some people don't care. Some people are like, yeah, whatever. Okay? So, no, we're going to be covering some text from those three chapters today to help us get a proper understanding of God's design, of the family, of manhood, of womanhood, and give us the proper starting place for this series. Because we desperately need a biblical view of men, women, children in the family and our culture. Amen, church? We definitely need a biblical view. Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, the first book in the Bible, so for us to look at some biblical foundations and to walk away with three biblical truths. Three biblical truths. We're going to start in verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you." Verse 30, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. Verse 31, God said that all He had made, and behold, God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The first biblical truth for today that we've got to grasp today, don't miss this one, all right, is this. The first biblical truth for us today is God created men and women with equal dignity. God created men and women with equal dignity. When we look back to our verse, look back to verse 26, we see this. We see the words, "Let us make man in our image." It's interesting. In case you're not understanding what that means, it's talking about the Trinity. It's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is important. It's talking about the Trinity, the triunity of God. And we're going to come back to this and talk about it as we close today. But we have a unified Trinity, a God that says we will make man in our image. We see God created man and woman in His image. Nothing else in all of creation, as we read this, Not even the most mighty heavenly angels were created in the image of God. But men and women were both born equally valuable to God, equally important to God, equally in the image of God, with equal dignity before God and equal dignity before one another. There's a reason that this is the first truth that we have today to discuss as we start this whole family thing. When we discuss manhood and womanhood and in the marriage, this is where the conversation starts, and we need to hold tight to this truth throughout this message and throughout this series. From the very beginning of Scripture, God is making it clear that no one is superior or inferior, better or worse. Are we checking with that? Are you guys with me? That's why when we say that we are pro-life, we're not just talking about pro-baby in the womb. We're also pro-senior that's needing care. Does that make sense? But we are pro-life because all of them are valuable. Not a life, not one life is more superior, inferior, better or worse. Now we go to the very beginning of the Bible, we are able to set aside many of the issues that we face in regards to men and women today. Any relationship where man treats woman as an inferior being, or any relationship, any culture where a woman does the same, treats man as an inferior human being, where men and women treat one another as objects to be used and abused, Scripture says when we look at God's design, that both men and women are made in the image of God. Think about what this means. To be made in the image of God. We resemble God. We resemble God. Now, obviously, there are many things that are different about us that are different from our Creator God. But the picture is this. Our moral capacity, our intellectual capacities, our capacity to reason, our ability to love, to forgive, to humble ourselves, they resemble the character of God. You guys tracking with me? They resemble the character of God. What about being holy? God is a holy God. But what does He do? He commands us to be holy, right? He commands us to be holy. We read in 1 Peter 1, it says this, "But like the Holy One who called you, be yourselves also in your own behavior, because it is written," what does it say? "You shall be holy," for what, church? "For I am holy." Our goal is to become more and more like Christ, to resemble Him. Sanctification, are you guys familiar with that word? It's just, without giving you a big definition, it's just really a word that describes that we're to grow more and more like Christ, to resemble Him. Take, for example, let me throw this out there. I've had people come up to me, mainly young people, and they're like, "Hey, we're made in the image of God. Does God look like me or does He look like Him?" Right? So we've talked, anybody else had that kind of conversation, right? Does God look like us? But think about our physical body for a second. God is spirit, right? So God the Father doesn't have a physical body. God the Spirit doesn't have a physical body. We saw that Jesus came to be fully God, fully man, right? So He had a physical body. But even our physical bodies are a reflection of who He is as Spirit. Follow me on this one. Psalm 94:9 says this, "He who planted the ear," right? God that made our ear, does He not hear? "He who formed the eye, does He not see?" So God doesn't have physical eyes to see. God does not have physical ears like we do. He's not walking around like Jeff, thank goodness, right? Right? But He is... I got to say amen, man. But our physical being is still a resemblance of who He is, right? So we, even in our differences, we resemble God, mainly in that character of Him, in that character, in our desire to grow and be holy like He is, to grow in sanctification. So we resemble God. God created men and women with equal dignity, right? With equal dignity, and we resemble God, we also have personal responsibility before God. We're still talking, that's my fault, we're still talking about men and women together. We are responsible for how we live in the image of God. Look with me at verse 28. "God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful," and what, church? "Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule," and He goes on to talk about that. So be fruitful and multiply, a command which, by the way, requires both male and female, if you know what I'm saying, right? It requires a male and female. This command cannot be carried out by male alone or female alone. I'm probably going to get some emails saying, "Thanks a lot, I wasn't ready to have that conversation with my kids yet," right? It can't be carried out by men and women alone. There's no fruitful multiplication unless you have man and woman, male and female, together. Right? So in the very design of creation, He is from the beginning, God giving them responsibility that involves one another. We're going to talk a little bit more about that too. So Pastor Jeff, I thought we were talking about manhood and womanhood and family. Why did we discover that? Well, we need to see from the beginning, both male and female were made in the image of God, with the ability to resemble Him and the responsibility we have to Him. And I believe that from the very beginning of Scripture, God is undercutting any kind of male slash female superiority. It is never right, men hear me very clearly, it is never right to disparage or belittle a woman. Not in our thoughts, not in our words, not in our actions. Ladies, it's never right to disparage or belittle a man. At all. To do either undercuts the very design of God. It undervalues God's design. Equal dignity, equal honor in His image. There is no room for male dominance, for female exploitation, or anything else along those lines. Those violate the very created order that God has designed. It goes against what God has done. So we stay away from those things. We stay away from those things. So keep this truth with you into this next section because you're going to need it. All right. So remember, we can, because we're, just trust me, right? We can trust God. We can trust His Word, and we can trust His design. And He has designed us in His image with equal dignity and equal value. Are we good? We're going to go back to that about 400 times today, but that's important. I want to make sure we get that. But God also, next on your notes, created men and women with different roles. This is that second truth. God created men and women with equal dignity, and God created men and women with different roles. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, probably a page over. Genesis 2 is not next in order, it's a parallel account. Genesis 2 elaborates on chapter 1, helps us understand it a little bit more. And we're going to read a good chunk of Scripture here real quick. So, you guys ready? All right, so let's read this together. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made heaven and earth. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant on the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground, but a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the garden the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the next few verses, 10 through 14, we get a little more description of that garden. Skip down to verse 15 with me. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you will eat from it. From in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man and to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was no helper. There was not found a helper suitable for him. Verse 21, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Verse 23, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Okay, so remember truth number one. Was that God created men and women, male and female, with equal dignity. And truth number two is this, God created men and women with different roles. Clearly, in many ways, God created men and women from the very beginning differently. What does that mean, right? God created us from the beginning differently. And there's a reason why there's male and female here. There are actually multiple reasons why male and female are here, and they're distinct. They're designed by God to be that way. I'm not understanding why guys want to be gals and why gals want to be guys. It's against the design of God. Are you guys with me on that one? It's against the design of God. Genesis 2 is showing us here that it's deeper than mere anatomy. This is not just about biology. This is God creating man for a reason. God creating woman for a reason. Both in the image of God, both equally valued, but with different roles. And God's word will teach us here in Genesis 2 what these roles are. So let's listen and learn, knowing we can trust God and trust His design. As we look at this text, we can see that God is giving roles to man and woman that complement one another. Men and women complement one another. They fit with one another. They go together. And this design, church, is being denied. It's being disregarded and belittled in our day. It's being twisted in all kinds of ideas and descriptions that are not the design of God. And because of these things, ultimately this design is being ignored by many. Even within what we call the church, right? Within church doors. And mainly because of due to progress, culture progress, and because of political correctness. So I want you to follow with me here because we can trust the Word of God. Amen, church? I want you to follow with me here, and I want you to see the wonderful design of God is complementary roles. See the design that God has for complementary roles for men and women. Genesis 2 begins with men, so we're going to start there. Right? I know ladies first. I'm teaching my sons, open the door for ladies. Ladies go first. I get all that, but the Bible starts with men, so we're going to start there. You guys good with that? Okay. So as we look at these roles, that's what we're going to do. I want to list the role and then give us a biblical understanding behind it, behind that role. So we see that men and women were created with equal dignity. I told you we're going to repeat that over and over again because some of us need to remember that, right? Some of us need to be reminded of that. And then that we were created by God with different roles, roles that complement one another. Now by God's design, man's role, man was created to be the head. This is not a word that I came up with. I use this word head here in the same way that we see in Scripture, and the New Testament uses the word head. And I'll mention two particular places for us because I think if we're going to stand on a biblical truth, we need to understand where that biblical truth comes from and how it's backed up from the beginning into Scripture. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The Apostle Paul is referring all the way back to here to Genesis 2 when he says this to the church. He says this, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ." And then in verse 8, we move down to verse 8, "For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man." So here we have God's word in the New Testament looking all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, that the head of a wife is her husband and the head of Christ is God. And we'll come back to that part, that passage, to give a description of that a little bit later because that's important. The other text in the New Testament, we can look to Ephesians chapter 5. Throughout this series, we're going to take deeper looks at both 1 Corinthians 11 and Ephesians chapter 5. But in Ephesians 5:23, we read this, "For the husband is the what, church? The head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church." Again, the New Testament, pointing back to Genesis 2, right? Of man as the role of head. And when we think of this role as being head, having this picture, think about leadership, even authority, not in a way that leads to domination. You guys tracking with me? Not in a way that leads to domination. Whenever you hear headship, don't hear or see me say or hear me say domination. Headship is a good, loving authority. Domination is against God's design. We're not talking superiority because we're not talking about value. We already know that we're equally valued, but we have different roles. We're talking about the role here of men and women. I think of my two boys. They're 2 and 3. I'm in a position of leadership or authority in relation to them. Sometimes they don't like that, right? And it's a good thing. But understand, just talk with the dads here today. Understand, men, this doesn't mean that I am more human than they are. Right? It doesn't mean that I'm any more valuable than they are. Or that I have more dignity than they do. We are equally valued before each other and before God. But by God's design, I have that loving authority. Jessica has loving authority over our children, right? Because it's God's design, that loving authority. And we want it to be evident to them. So think about that picture when we think about the man being the head and being in a position of loving authority and loving leadership. So we can trust God and we can trust His design, and He created man as in the role of head, in the role of leadership. And then we began, or we continue to read in Genesis chapter 2 that woman was created to be the helpmate. We see this twice here in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper or a helpmate suitable for him." That's why we use that word. Woman was created to be the helpmate. Down to verse 20. "The man," speaking of Adam, "gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sea and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper." There was no helpmate suitable for him. In verse 18, we see God say that He says, "Adam, you're alone, man. This is what? It's not good," right? And that was not, and what was not good was that the man was alone. He needed a helper like him, similar to him. And there was nothing like that for him. There was no one for him. On one hand, you've got a need for someone who is equal in dignity and equal in value when God says this isn't good. And pointing out two different times that a helpmate, a helper, is needed. A role that is different from him that complements him. The woman created the same as man. So let me ask you this. So was the woman created the same as man? Well, yes and no, right? I mean, we can look at each other. Obviously, we look different, right? Thank God for that. Really, right? So yes and no, right? And it's in here somewhere. It's in my notes somewhere. Okay, yes and no. Yes, absolutely, in the first sense that we're equal in dignity and equal in value, that we're made in the image of God. So yes, right? But no in the second sense, because she was created quite literally as a helpmate for man. You guys seeing that difference right here? This is just from the Bible. Don't throw anything at me, okay? Hang on. Okay? You can't hit me now. All right. I was going to get a catcher's mask, but it didn't work out. Just to protect myself. So were they created the same? Yes, in the fact that they're created in the image of God, equal dignity, equal value. But no, they're created different for different roles. Different roles. We're going to talk more about how that design got all jacked up in Genesis chapter 3 as we go through this series. The Bible tells us, church, by God's design as head, write this down, man was created to exercise loving authority over the woman. As head, this was his role, clearly defined, especially in the marriage relationship. Man was created in that role to exercise loving authority over woman. And by God's design as helpmate, woman was created to extend loving submission to man. So let me lay this out here for you. I know what I'm saying is walking completely against the grain of our culture. And as I'm studying it, I pictured my nails up against a grain of wood, just getting splinters as I went through it, right? I mean, because this is just counterculture. But as we are believers in Jesus Christ, we trust God's Word, this is what the Word of God says. And we want to be faithful to the Word of God in all things. We live in a culture that has us convinced that making these statements, these biblical statements, are chauvinistic and dominating. A culture where authority and submission are negative words. We're going to push against that idea. Society tells us and wants us to believe that to be submissive to someone else's authority means that you're obviously of less worth than that person. You guys checking out why we started where we started at? That we're all created in the image of God with the same value, the same worth. We're all created that way. What I want to show you, though, is that it's just not the case, that just because you work in a lower position than somebody else, or because you're a wife or a husband or whatever, no, there's not different values there. There's different roles. This design in no way of the different roles undercuts truth number one, that we're equal in dignity and value, but that these different roles are good for us in glorifying to God and His design. I do want to give a little more clarity this morning to this truth of different roles. I think it's important for us as believers, and I would challenge you guys to go home and talk about it and open up the God's Word. And if you want, ask questions, and that's fine. And we're going to talk more about it in life groups, so bring those questions to life group. But we got to know why we believe what we believe, church, right? You can't just say, well, I do this because, or I do this because, man, we need to know what God's Word says. So let's give a little bit more clarity to these roles. and to the truth of these different roles. Keep in mind that this is not a task that can be done in one service unless you want to be here until Super Bowl time, okay? So we're not going to do that. But we will continue to unpack the family throughout the next following 3 weeks after this. Today, though, let's unpack a little bit from right here in Genesis chapter 2. We'll go into a little bit of Genesis chapter 3 that shows us that these ideas are biblically accurate. Can I put this away, ladies? Are we good? Okay. All right. First, when we think about these roles, think about the order of creation. Just follow with me, take your notes, whatever you want to do, but make sure you're tracking with me. Very simply, man was created first, and then woman was created. Now, this might not sound like a big deal, right? This might not sound like a big deal at all. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but obviously men and women could have been created at the same time. God could have done that if that was his design, right? God could have done that. But remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 actually used this as a reason for headship. Man was not made from woman, but woman from man. This is the New Testament saying this order is important, right? This order of creation is important. And then the other one in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 12 and 13, Paul is talking about leadership between men and women in the church, and Paul's pointing to male leadership in the church, and he says, remember Genesis chapter 2, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. This is the New Testament. This is not Pastor Jeff. This is not anybody else. This is God's Word saying this is important. Are you guys with me? Okay, so there's theological meaning to the order of creation. It wasn't just arbitrary. This was not just a God just kind of flipping a coin, and if he was in the playoffs, might have to flip it again, right? Because, do you guys see that? Okay, but there you go. Thank you. All right. So there was not just a flipping of the coin. It was intentional in God's design. Second is this. So first we have the order of creation. Second is this, is the design of creation. When you get to chapter 2, verse 20, it says, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So think about design. I'm just thinking about this, man. It's kind of a depressing moment where Adam, where man realizes, man, you got this honey over here. You got this girl over here. I got nothing, right? I mean, I'm sure Adam said honey, people. Come on. People are looking at me funny, all right? So you know, it's just like, it's probably a depressing moment for him. But God says, all right, man, take a nap. And Adam lays down and takes a nap, and God performs the first surgical operation, right? He gets his tools out. Well, he doesn't need tools, right? But he takes a rib from Adam's side. He closes him up. Right, they're probably the disappearing stitches, right, on the inside. I don't know, did they have those back then, right? And he closes them up, and from there he forms woman. And then when Adam wakes up from his sleep and opens his eyes, no doubt we can say Adam was thrilled, man, right? Adam was just pumped at this point. He was like, man, that surgery coming out of the anesthesiology, that was all worth it for this woman standing here in front of me. Don't ever ask my wife what I'm like when I come out of anesthesiology. Or anesthetics, right? Is that what he calls it, right? So I'm saying all sorts of funky stuff, but I don't think God had to use that. And God could have breathed life into the dust of the earth just like he did with Adam in order to create woman, but instead he literally takes part of Adam, from the man to create woman. She is made from man, a helper suitable for Adam. The order of creation, the design of creation, and the third reality would be the naming of the woman. Chapter 2, verse 23, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And this is key, church, because, and we could go through the rest of the Bible where we see the naming something means you're recognized as authority. If you get to name something, you're recognized as authority. It's a theme throughout Scripture. So when we see God in the Old Testament or Jesus in the New Testament changing people's names, he has a position of what, church? Authority, right? When parents name children, they have a position of... You guys are good, right? This is always significant as we walk through Scripture. Even when we look ahead to Genesis chapter 3, Adam starts calling her woman, and he names her Eve. He names her. It's a position of authority. The fourth reality is in representation. This is an Old Testament, carries over to the New Testament, where you see man, Adam, described as a representation of all mankind, both male and female alike. Think about this. 1 Corinthians 15:22, Paul says, in Adam, all die. In Adam, all died, right? There's an eternal separation from God because of his sin. It doesn't say not in Adam and Eve all have died in their sin. It says in Adam. There's some responsibility there. There's representation of man there. You get to Romans chapter 5. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through all men through this man who sinned, right? Talking about Adam. And we're about to see in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve obviously both sinned. In fact, from what we can tell, Eve sinned first, right? And us guys like to have fun with that every now and then, right? Say, man, you led me that way, right? You kind of did that. But this picture is the representation is given to the man. It's given to the man. So let's do one more, and that's a responsibility. This is where we're going to move into Genesis chapter 3. This is the fall, the entrance of sin into earth, into the world. It says this in verse 1. Now the serpent, talking about Satan, was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Listen to the second part. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Let's pause for a second. We've walked through... We walk through this for a reason. So we pause for a second and we remember God gave the commandment of you shall not eat of any tree of the garden to who? To man, to Adam, before Eve was even created. And man responsible for passing on and carrying on this command to his family. We're going to talk more about that, especially next week when we talk more about men and our roles as being single, but also husbands and fathers. But he did. He gave that responsibility to Adam. Verse 6, Satan continues to tempt, right? And then in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her and he ate. Notice that. And she gave also to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of God of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Their innocence, boom, gone. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then verse 9, then the Lord God called to man and said to him, where are you? He called to the man, where are you? We each have responsibility before God, being created in his image, and we're responsible for him, for our sin against him. God is a righteous and just God, right? We talk about, Bible talks about the vengeance, right? I mean, God will take care of that sin, but Jesus comes along, right? But that's a side note, and I'm excited to talk about that as well when Jesus kind of comes and we see him... that's a different note. I'm going to get excited and start going on a different sermon, right? But the gospel is presented in Genesis chapter 3, amen? All right? So let's just say that. So we're all responsible. If Jessica sins, she's held accountable for it. Amen? Amen, right? That's it. You're not in kids' life. I love having my wife with us in here. She's been able to come in 2 weeks in a row. That's one reason why we need volunteers, guys. You know, she hadn't been able to be in here much, and I love her heart and that she serves, and thank you. So I love having my wife here too, so getting some brownie points, guys. I really am thankful. But we need people serving. So we're all responsible. If I sin, I'm responsible. But there's this idea right here of the husband and the role of him being responsible. But I want you to notice when God comes to confront his creation of Adam and Eve for the first sin, he goes directly to Adam. What happens is God comes to man and directly holds him responsible, and this is a responsibility as head that he's given to the man in that relationship. So now that we have covered all of that, we can think, man, isn't this demeaning to women? I know the Bible says this, but isn't it demeaning to women? I get a little frustrated when I see people interviewed and they say, man, why do you vote this way, or why do you have this viewpoint? Well, because this is what the Bible says. Oh, you mean the same Bible that blah 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 blah, and they talk about how it's demeaning to women, and it's not. You might think, isn't this at the very least slightly offensive to women? It's not, and I know that as soon as I say that, you can say, well, of course you don't think that. You're a man, right? I get that, right? So. But this is where I want to show you this third truth, and I pray that we can understand this, and that you guys can understand this in your hearts and your minds. You guys can understand this, because we cannot forget that first truth, that God created men and women with equal dignity. I'm going to keep repeating that probably throughout this series. We can't forget that God created us with equal dignity. Men, man, don't misuse this passage. Don't misuse biblical understandings to dominate your wife. There's a difference. We're going to talk about that next week, so I challenge you to be here. So our second truth, He created men and women with different roles. No one better than the other, just different. But there is that truth that man is the leader and the woman is, by God's design, the helpmate. And third is this. God created men and women as a reflection of the Trinity, as a reflection of Himself. And this is where we see the beauty of both our equality and our differences. We get to see this in the Trinity, and we're going to walk through this. I'm excited. Later, a little bit later, we're going to go through a 3 or 4 week series over the Holy Spirit, and I'm really excited about that. People don't seem to preach on the Holy Spirit a whole lot, and we're going to have some fun with that one, and the Holy Spirit is awesome, right? And I'm excited about that, but we're going to do that. So here's this. God exists in three persons, church. One God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Some people call Him the Holy Ghost. Not three gods, one God, three persons. And I want you to think with me about this Trinity, about the very personhood of God. The persons of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, are equally divine. They're equally God. Right? Amen? Right? They're equally God. Father, Son, and Spirit. They're all equally divine. Is the Father God? Yes. Is the Son equally God? Is the Spirit equally God? Without question, all persons of the Trinity are equally divine, equal worthy of praise, glory, honor, adoration. None is higher than the other in earth. They are equally God, but at the same time, the persons of the Trinity are positionally different. They have different roles and even different authority. Track with me here because this is clear throughout Scripture. The Father has authority over the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? We can see that throughout Scripture. The Father sends, for God so loved the world, He sent His only Son, right? God, the Father sends the Son into the world. The Son is obedient to the commands of the Father. But wait a minute, I thought they were equally God. Why can't we just kind of have a war between the gods? It doesn't work that way. It's against God's design, right? The Son is obedient to the commands of the Father. Jesus says, "My will is to do the will of Him, the Father, who sent me, and to finish His work, the Father's work." The Son is subject to the Father. Father equals authority over the Son. The Son is subject to the Father. Remember 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 3, which I mentioned we'd come back to. It says this, the head of the wife is the husband. Right? Don't miss this correlation. And the head of Christ is God. Equal value, equal worth, equal dignity, yet one has a position of being head over the other. So this whole picture of the headship and submission is in the personhood of God. So it is a bad thing. Is it a bad thing? Is it chauvinistic of the Father? Is it offensive to Jesus? No, it's not. Right? We can look at that and we say, man, that's not a bad thing. Our culture has done a really, really good job to make us think that being in one position in relationships is better than another. That's why I'm glad we have this example, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The perfect example of loving authority and loving submission. When we step back, we trust God, we trust His Word, we trust His design. All of this is good for us. All of this is good for us. We have unity in diversity. We see that in our churches as well. I'm no better than anybody else. Nobody's better than... Yeah, I mean, we're all equal. We all have different roles that God has designed us. There are skill sets that God has given us, and we're to use them in the local body. Right? Hint, hint. Let's get in there and serve and do what God has called us to do. All of this is good, having unity in diversity. In our marriages, we honor one another as we enjoy one another. We honor one another as equals, and we experience intimacy through our differences. Think about this. This design by God between a husband and a wife. Check this out. We are attracted to the parts of each other that are most different by God's design. Our unity with each other is found at points where we are most different by God's design. Genesis 2:24 says this, "Man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." We honor one another as equal while we enjoy one another's differences. Praise God for this one union flesh, right? One flesh union. Said that wrong. You get what I'm saying? We praise God for that. That we become one. And think about it. From that one flesh union, check this out. From this one flesh union, people understanding the different roles, the different design, the different ways that God has made us, the most astounding physical thing happens in the world. The creation of another human being is made in the image of God. This is good for us, and it's the design of God. So it's good for us, and all of this is glorifying to God. Man, our job is to live to glorify Him. Whether we eat or drink, we do it all for the glory of God, right? We do everything for the glory of God. We take a breath, that song, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Everything that we have, everything we do is to give Him glory. And this right here, understanding the roles that we're equal in dignity, equal in value, but different in roles, and accepting those positions allows us to glorify God. Church, this is one of those areas in our Bible where in our culture today, where the Bible comes up totally against the patterns of our culture, and we're forced to make a decision. And I got to be honest with you, it angers me when I see churches, denominations, pastors, those types of things crumbling to political correctness. What about godly correctness? Right? I mean, think about it, people. This is all, it's going to be gone. But God is for eternity, and He has His design. So are we going to believe the Word of God or trust an ever-changing culture? Culture would have us believe that our worth is wrapped up in our position at work, our position at school, young people, our position on the team, right? Or in the family, husbands and wives and children. Your worth is not found in your role. We want to do that role well, amen? We want to do that role well, but your worth is not found in your role. Your worth is found in the fact that you have been created by God with His breath, knitted together in the womb in the image of God. That's where we get our worth. So are we going to trust God who says that we are worth being made in His image with different roles for His purposes that actually exalt Him? Or do we trust our culture? And as we close, look at this amazing picture. Jesus came at the bidding of His Father to die on the cross for our sins, to save us from our sins. The Bible describes Jesus as a groom. And that makes it possible for us to be His bride. In a relationship where we live to serve Jesus Christ. And that's the point, church, that we could see Christ and His relationship with the church. We see Jesus and man, come ready. Man, come ready to listen to God's Word next week. Man, I'm serious. Come ready to listen to God's Word next week and how we were created to take this role into what God has designed us to do to help our families, to help the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can see Christ and His relationship with the church in the family, in men and women, in the relationship, in marriage. So church, don't check out on me. Don't say, man, I just don't know about this stuff, right? I don't know, right? Go ahead, throw stuff at me. I mean, we gotta stay faithful to the Word of God. Amen, church? Sometimes we just say stuff that's just kind of like, where'd that come from, right? But it's from the Word of God, and we need to understand this. So don't check out on me. Stay plugged in throughout this series and see the love that Jesus Christ exampled, and that a man, we're going to talk about this next week, is to have for his wife. I'm gonna laugh. We're gonna have all sorts of husbands here that their women, their wives are gonna drag them next week, right? But right, so we're gonna talk about the example of Christ and the love that we're supposed to have for our wives. We'll see some amazing responsibilities the week after that for ladies and moms. Don't miss that one out either, right? You drag your husbands, they can drag you right back. Maybe your kids will drag you in, right? So, and then we'll see what God says about children that He has blessed us with. By the way, Jessica mentioned at the beginning that we're going to have child dedication service. We call it family child dedication service. I'm pumped, right? It's not. This is not salvation. This is a time for us to stand in front of our local body and say, I'm going to do the best I can as a dad and as a mom to raise this child that God gave me, this gift and this reward, right, for the glory of God. I'm going to train him up to love Jesus. Jessica and I get to pray with the boys every night, and I pray consistently that they would see our example, see my love for Jessica, and then her love for me and our love for Jesus Christ, so that they would follow Him. Right? We want to teach them the Word of God, and so if that's something that you want to do, I don't care how old they are. You know, if you got a 50-year-old kid that's never been, no, I'm just kidding. You know what I'm saying? But that's important. You can jump on our website and register on there, or you can fill out those little cards and do that as well. Church, let's pray today. Father, we love You. We thank You, God, that You're good. We can trust You. We can trust Your Word. We can trust Your design. God, we thank You that You pointed out very clearly in Scripture that a man is no more valuable than a woman. A woman is no more valuable than a man. We are created in the image of God with equal dignity. But God, we also have to be acknowledged the fact that it's Your design that there are different roles. And God, so we thank You for that. Help us take these roles seriously. Help us serve You and love You and do them for the glory of You, so that it examples what You'd want it to example, so that it looks like You want it to look, God. God, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for these people that are here today. God, I prayed for them before we came here today, God, that they would be receptive. And each and every time we come, God, we pray, Lord, that people here, myself included, would be convicted by the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. So, God, we lift up this time to You today. In just a short time of response, God, we just ask if there's anybody here that would just say, I don't even know this Jesus. And I would love to know Jesus. If you would look this way or raise your hand, I would love to connect with you after church today. God, we love You so much. Be with us today as we continue to worship, as we continue to honor You for who You are. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, Amen.